Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week, like it is every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL reporters in the business. Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How you guys doing?
We are doing very well. And Charles, some news coming down yesterday that no major discipline appears to be coming from the NFL to the Titans out of this COVID-19 investigation. Draft picks reportedly not even being considered being taken off the table for the Titans. Are you surprised at how this has gone down with the investigation from the NFL to the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, only because, as I said during the course, I think last week we talked about this, during the course of the investigation, you know, clearly there were some people who were troubled at some of the things that they were hearing. But I think what helped the Titans here is, on one hand, you had the NFLPA that, you know, going through this process, I think one of the things the union made clear to the league is like, hey, we would prefer that players don't get hit in this thing. So, you know, unless there's something that's just absolutely egregious here, where the word that kept coming up from what I was told is just like, how willful was this? Were players out here saying like, hey, we don't care about these protocols. Like, this is stupid. This is, something we shouldn't even be, you know, taking part in. And if you're not finding that and with these practices or, you know, I guess the workout that happened at the high school, was this a matter of players being told, hey, don't do this, and they went and did it anyway? If it's not, you know, players shouldn't be getting hammered for this. And I think that helped to soften where some of this went in terms of the investigation. And then I think with the league, when I asked someone about the draft picks and I said, you know, fining versus draft picks versus, you know, whatever other measures are on the table, basically what I was told, and this was a league source, they said, look, the Roger Goodell really wants to reserve the right to hit teams, particularly with draft picks, when it comes down to, if he's going to affect the competitive balance of a team, it has to be something extremely egregious that a team is taking part in to gain some kind of an edge that would be considered, at least, like if the media were going to attach a term to it, cheating. Is this cheating? Was this, you know, he had guys in the facility, clearly they had photos of players who were congregating. I think some of it was like cafeteria photos where guys didn't have masks on. And really, what edge would the Titans have gained by this? And again, was it willful? And I think the league came to the conclusion that at the end of the day, this wasn't willful by anyone in the organization directing people to break any protocols. And it's hard to hammer a team in a situation like that. And what I was told too, I guess apparently, you know, other owners brought up the reality that, hey, well, if we do this to the Titans, what happens if down the line we have something like this happen? You know, what happens if we all of a sudden there are pictures surfacing of our players who are not wearing masks or they get together outside of the facility when they're not supposed to? Do we really want to be subject to having draft picks stripped and things of this nature? So I think when everything had run its course, the example had been set, the phone call had been made, the Zoom call with all the general managers and coaches about here's the new protocols, don't do this, the embarrassment was sufficient. And once again, I think Roger just did not want to take that step of hitting the Titans where it hurts in terms of on the field, because he did not see the team willfully attempting to gain some kind of an edge by evading some protocols.
So do you think when you look at this entire episode, again, hopefully this is the only big outbreak, but obviously we've seen positives here and there. We've kind of been woken up to the reality that this is going to carry on all season after maybe being a little bit fooled by the first couple of weeks. But do you think, Charles, this will end up being good for the NFL, that this, you know, the little bit of embarrassment here, the threat of penalties, a lot of people waking up. I mean, do you think that ultimately this is going to help this season carry on the way the NFL wants it to carry on?
I think it'll be good because, again, I think the one thing that people weren't really privy to that was probably the best thing to come out of this was that phone call that Goodell had, where They had these, I think I described it before, the way it was described was this sort of slideshow where they're showing pictures of things and saying, like, look, this is a protocol violation. And it felt like, you know, for lack of a better term, a shaming call. And clearly, when I spoke to other general managers who were on that call, they walked away from it like, man, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be the person who's basically get called to the principal's office in front of everybody else. And so I think out of just sheer embarrassment, you're going to have, you know, certain people that are in the higher rungs of the infrastructure of teams saying, look, you know, it's not going to be easy. We lose our focus, particularly as teams start to stack up losses, things like that. We just don't want to go through the embarrassment of having, you know, our owner attached to this or you know, our logo attached to a failure. So I think in terms of the long-term aspect of this, yeah, it is, and it's going to be good. And I also think teams looking at the league have to feel like the NFL did approach this with some level of understanding in terms of, look, we know this is not easy. We know that there's going to be outbreaks. We know that there's still a chance that even though we don't want to bump the Super Bowl back a week, we know that this could still happen. But we're trying to ask you guys, stick to the protocols as best you possibly can. And if you can, please don't fight with us on this. Like, that's one thing, too, that I think came out of this was the league really extending the message to teams that we don't need to engage in bickering between the league office putting out these protocols and teams not liking it or grousing about it. And the Titans weren't the only ones. I want to be really clear about that. I think I brought it before where Vrabel made the remark about, you know, the 100 memos or whatever. They're not alone in that. There have been multiple teams that have groused sort of about having to jump through hoops constantly and all the different things that they're always having to follow to the letter of the law. The league just wants teams to back off and not sort of engage in some of the sword fighting that happens in the media, because no one's happy with this and everybody's stressed about it. So, you know, we'll see where it goes for moving forward. But I think it was an imperfect situation. It was an imperfect investigation. And I think everybody walks away from it ready to just move on and let's just not have this happen again.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, on the field, things going very well for the Titans thus far, 5-0 on the season. A big matchup this weekend against the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers as well. What do you make of what you've seen from the Titans so far, and what do you make of this matchup against the Steelers?
Well, I think people have rounded the corner on Ryan Tannehill. I think that anyone who's watched the Titans has realized, A, the contract extension was extremely worthy. B, maybe Adam Gase had a depressing effect on a number of players who previously went through his systems. It's funny because when you talk to people around the league, you definitely get a sense of when people talk about Tannehill, they talk about Tannehill through this sort of Gase microscope. And there have been other people that have come out of, you know, the Miami system when Gase was there that did not necessarily flourish the way that people thought they would. And so I think that Tannehill, not only is his play doing a lot for him right now, I think what's going on with Adam Gase in New York is also helping. Like, hey, maybe Tannehill, it was a product of injuries, it was a product of system, it was a product of coaching that has not been clearly great for Adam Gase over a number of years now. And Tannehill, I think people are finally getting around to the fact that this guy is a good quarterback in the NFL, and not just a good quarterback, like a very good quarterback, particularly when you look at his numbers in a more recent frame. I mean, you go back to last season through this season, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. His numbers stack up really well, and the wins stack up really well. He's been perfect in this system for what the Titans want to do. So I think that's been one of the things that I think has been a little bit of a revelation to other people around the league that, you know, Tannehill's not a caretaker. Like, he's a winning quarterback that should be high on your list of issues to deal with when the Titans are coming in. And then I think Derrick Henry, it's funny because you over the course of any running back's career, you hear criticisms about what a guy can't do, you know, what his style's like, will he last? I remember Derrick Henry hearing people, oh, he's just too upright, he's this, he's that. And nobody says this anymore. They talk about elite running backs, and there are maybe two or three guys mentioned, and he's there. And I think nobody wants to face this guy, particularly in this season and going down the second half stretch where teams are going to be more tired, they're going to be more injured, and they know that this is an offense that, particularly as you get toward the playoffs, I just don't know how teams are going to be able to deal with stopping him consistently, particularly if Ryan Tannehill and some of the offensive skill position pieces are playing well. And remember, that's another thing, too. I think you look at the skill position pieces of the Titans beyond the running back and the quarterback. You look at the wide receivers, you look at the tight end position. Titans look pretty complete, particularly offensively. And I think this is a season where you're starting to see franchises understand that, hey, you could probably win a Super Bowl offensively this year and not have to have a perfect defense or maybe even a good defense in the postseason, that offensively you're going to be able to outrace some teams just because of injuries and every other thing, the effect that's sort of taken place in the pandemic season.
Yeah, of course, now they lose their star left tackle. So that's a that's a big hit. Speaking of which, trading deadline coming up. I know it's maybe a little bit more of a thing in the NFL recently, Charles. It's not like other sports, but I do look at the Titans, right. And I'm just going to ask you, are there any crappy teams out there looking to deal a tackle right now, asking for a certain general manager in Nashville?
Everybody always wants to know who's willing to deal their offensive lineman. Either in the who's going to cut a good off? That's always the number one question I would get in during like a training camp tour is like, hey, are there any good offensive linemen who are going to get let go? I'm like, yeah, sure, that happens all the time. I can't tell you like particularly who is going to be out there looking to deal an offensive tackle, but I can tell you that when you look at who is going to be, who are going to be the teams that are going to be looking to deal at the deadline, pay close attention to the Saints, pay close attention, to the Eagles. Those are two teams that, because of the salary cap rollbacks next year, are in some significant, significant trouble and are going to have to clear a lot of cap space going into the rollback next year. Now, it all kind of depends where they are at the deadline, which obviously is rolling up, I think, November 3rd. And, so if they're, I guess, technically still in it, they can – all the bloodletting will come in the offseason. But I can tell you those are both franchises that are going to be fielding a lot of calls because teams know, hey, both the Saints and the Eagles have to clear a ton of cap space before next season begins. So – I can't tell you right now who offensive line wise who's out there. It's going to be, we're going to have to get a lot closer. I tell you the Jets, but I mean like the Jets are open for business because they need to reboot the entire roster. But realistically, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody on the Jets roster that's going to improve the Tennessee Titans.
Well, and the Eagles are, like you would think a 1-4-1 team might be looking to sell, but they're going to win the NFC East with 4 wins. Right. So, I mean, I guess they're buyers.
You have all these teams that – I remember last night somebody texted me, like, hey, the Giants are one game out of first. 1-5 and you're one game out of first. Yeah.
Relegate the whole division, man.
Someone asked a great question today about I don't know who it was on Twitter, but somebody asked the question about hey, if a team wins a division, say with like a 6-10 record, is their draft pick still going to be like a top 10 draft pick? Like they'll make the playoffs and still have a top 10 draft pick? And I was like, that's a really great question. The answer is no. If you make the postseason, you're automatically relegated to, your spot is. Behind everybody who misses the postseason. But yeah, I thought, man, imagine that, going 6-10, winning a division, having a top 10 draft pick and qualifying for the playoffs.
Could have been a perfect storm for the Cowboys, man. Just missed out on it there. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, as he is each Tuesday at 9:00. Charles, great stuff, man. We appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Be safe this week.
You too.
About,
man, that NFC East. Like, are we sure somebody's got to make the playoffs from that division? Can we just relegate it?
I mean, it's a different kind of year, right? There's never going to be a year quite like this. So maybe this is the year that someone just steps in and says, this division,
you're out.
You're relegated for a year.
When we come
no
back,
one would complain.
We will dive back into the Titans, continue to get your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.